I want to turn our attention this morning to Philippians in the 4th chapter, and especially verse 13. Verse 12 and 13 were read a few moments ago, and this is a beautiful passage that tells us a lot, I think, about the Apostle Paul and his mindset as far as his service is concerned to the Lord. I do have this note I'd like to read here at the beginning. This is from Don and Ronnie Franklin. They recently placed membership with us, but have been gone this past week, of course, with the passing of Don's father, and then shortly before that, Ronnie's mother passed away, lived in Marbles Falls. And he says, thank you all for your prayers, for your cards, and we feel so loved here. So just expressing his gratitude and to us, and we want to continue to remember them in our prayers. You'll notice the beautiful flowers up here at front. Margaret does that for us, and she's always redecorating, and we appreciate your service that you do for us. You know, I said, well, those look like roses, and she said, that's to remind all the men it's Valentine's Day this year. Us guys don't need to be reminded, do we? There's a story about a minister who frequently visited the nursing home, and he felt like he, because of the poor memory of some of the patients or residents there that he visited, that he always needed to reintroduce himself. So he did so on one such occasion with a man, and he said, you do remember who I am, don't you? And the man said, no, but they can help you up at the front desk. One thing that Paul, who is a writer of this letter, of course, and he was in prison at the time that he wrote it. And I think that's important to remember as we think about this statement that he made, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And so this wasn't written by him on an island in paradise somewhere. He was in custody in Rome. He had been arrested. And yet he makes this statement. Paul did not have too many identity issues and remembering who he was. He remembered who he was. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of the church, arrested men and women, voted to put them to death. He remembered all that. But he also remembered that the Lord had saved him from that, forgiven him of his sins. Remarkable grace. And he mentions it several times in his letters. You read his writings, he's always referring to the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. I think he identified with that because he had experienced it in his own life. It was very real to him. All of us as Christians should be able to say the same thing and always give thanks to God for the way he is able to renew us and still use us in his kingdom. Very important that we try to get that message out to others as well. You'll notice in this passage that he says, I can. There's too many people in the world that live just by these first two words, I can. The world is full of them. And remember once in the life of Jesus over in Luke in chapter 12 and about verse 13, the following verses, where he was approached by a man who asked Jesus to help his brother divide the inheritance with him. And Jesus said, who made me a judge over these matters? But he says, I do warn you to beware of greed. For even when a man possesses an abundance, his life does not consist of what he possesses. And then he went on to tell the little story about the rich farmer who had done so well that his crops were outproducing his barns. And his solution was to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. Nothing wrong with that. That is to be productive, to take care of those things that you produce. But then he made this statement to himself, take ease, eat, drink, and be merry, for you have much laid up. And God says, you fool, this night your soul is required of thee. And then who shall all these things be that you have gained? And so is a man who is rich to himself and not rich toward God. It was just a way in which Jesus was emphasizing to the man that asked a question to tell him, hey, everything is not about the inheritance. Everything is not about worldly goods and possessions. There's things more important than that. You needed to realize it. And in this passage, as Jesus tells the story, you read about the rich farmer who said, I did this, I gained this, I did that. I can, you see. Truth of the matter is, we cannot do anything without God. So much of the time we're caught up with our own abilities, with our own possessions, with our own strengths, and we forget where they come from. I can. Too many people stop right there. They think everything is dependent upon them, and it's not. There's many passages that emphasize that point, I think, and certainly the brevity of life, such as James in the 4th chapter. He talks about men who decide to go to another city, and there they will sell and get gain. And he says, you remember, you know what your life consists of. It is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You should say, if God wills, I will do this and that. So we see what the emphasis is here. It's not against a man prospering in business. It's not about a man putting forth the effort to do that. It's about leaving God out of the picture. Too many people do that, you see. And too much of the time we do that in our own life. We forget where things come from, where they originate from. Our very life, our strength. And even those who forget about God, does not God bless them? For the Bible says he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. On the evil and the good, he causes the sun to rise. So there is a blessing by the hand of God for all men, whether they recognize him as the giver of good gifts or not. So many, though, go through life, I can. And that's where they stop. And then at the end of life, they find out that they can't. And they start dealing with real issues and real problems, temptations and sin and guilt, and finally death. And as they stand over an open grave, they say, I can't. They depend on somebody else then, you see. How much better it is early in our life to make the decision that now we need God. Forget about I can. Forget about self. And let God use you to his glory. That's what needs to be done. You'll notice, though, that Paul didn't stop there. He said, I can do all things through Christ. Now, here is the very key of the passage, you see. Here is the foundation of his way of thinking and his way of living. I can through Christ. You might say by Christ or by the agency of Christ, I can. Well, that puts a different light on the whole passage, doesn't it, in his way of thinking. He is not saying, I can. If you stop right there, then you're thinking about Paul. But if you go on and read the passage, I can through Christ, then you're no longer thinking about Paul. You're thinking about Christ. And that's where we need to be in our life. I can through Christ. He is the very agency of everything we're able to accomplish and do. You remember, in John in the 15th chapter, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he talked about how we need, several times in that short passage, he uses the word abide, means to live. So he's talking about us abiding, staying in, living in Christ. And then he says, this is a remarkable statement that goes hand in hand with our passage. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. How true that is. To produce, to be fruitful, you see, for Christ, we need to abide in him. It is only by his power and his strength that we're able to accomplish the things that we set out before us, especially our goals here in our spiritual life and the goals of the church. Only through Christ I can. This is a message that he was trying to get across. This is Philippians, you remember. He's writing to the church at Philippi, who had blessed him and helped him, sent contributions to him in different places. He had converted people there. He loved that church. And now he's in prison and he's writing this letter back to them. It's 4 short chapters. But in the very last chapter, chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, I can through Christ. They knew what he was going through. They felt sorry for him. They wanted to pray for him and lift him up. Paul says, I can through Christ. Don't worry about me. I have Christ by my side. He also knew at Philippi that the church there was undergoing afflictions and persecutions. So as he says that regarding himself, don't you think that the people at Philippi would apply it to themselves? If Paul can through Christ, then we can through Christ. And this is the victory that we have, to be able to do these things. The Apostle Peter in Matthew 14 was in that boat on the Sea of Galilee when the storm was raging. Jesus came walking on the water. It was Peter that stepped over the side. I can't do Christ. And he walked on the water. We think, what an amazing miracle there. He only began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the wind and the waves. But through Christ he could. But without him he could do nothing. Without him he was like any other man. He would sink below the waves and drown if it wasn't for the hand of Christ. And what about us today? Do you think you can walk on water? And what purpose would there be in it if you could? I mean, would you amaze yourself? Would you amaze your friends there? I'm sure that would be the case. Perhaps if you don't have a boat and would like to go fishing, it might come in handy to walk on water. But really, what purpose would it serve? Is there not a greater purpose in all of this? That we might know that we don't have to be swallowed up by the waves and the storms of life. That we can make it with Christ. We can walk on water and overcome. I can do all things through Christ. But our problem is we get to watching the waves and the wind. We think about our troubles. We think about everything that is against us. We think about our sins and our guilt. And you know what we begin to do? We begin to sink like poor old Peter. It's time to lift up our eyes again, to put them on the cross, and to think about Christ. And then we begin to rise above the water. We begin to walk on water. And we say, I can through Christ. That's the beauty of it. That's what propels us. That's what motivates us. That's what makes us stronger than what we are by ourselves. We think about a lot of passages, of course. In Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul said, if God is for me, who can be against me? That's the kind of thinking, you see, that he had that caused him to be so successful and overcome all the persecutions and all the trials of his life. 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, you remember what he said in about verse 15, I believe it is, or 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 there, where Paul talks about the grace of God. You remember, I am what I am by the grace of God. And then he made this statement. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. That's back to I can. I can. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. That's back to I can through Christ. It was the grace of God that changed his life. It was the grace of God that made him what he was. And he was able to overcome because of the strength that Christ provides. And he provides it to us too. We must stop thinking in such a negative way concerning our own spiritual life and our own life altogether. We must think about Christ. I can through Christ overcome the obstacles of life and the difficulties of life. He will provide for me. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 talks about God's divine power. And notice this. Peter says he has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What a powerful passage. We get this from God's divine power through Christ. He has granted us all things. What are you short of now? He grants us all things that pertain to life. Spiritual life, to life, real life, abundant life. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're not ill-equipped people. He has made everything available to us. But we have to knock on the door, you see. We have to open, go into the room where it's at, to avail ourselves of it. If we don't do that, we're left back to I can. No, I can't through Christ. That is the secret of it all. Isn't it something that he says, I can do all things through Christ? I hardly know of a passage in the Bible that's been more misused than this one. He does say, I can do all things through Christ, doesn't he? And then people start to apply it in all different ways, which I don't think Paul had in mind at all. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Let's suppose you want somebody to build a house for you. And you're interviewing that person. And you're talking about everything that needs to be done in regards to building that house. And you ask him, what can you do? And he says, I can do all things. What do you mean you can do all things? I mean from the laying of foundation to the putting of the roof on the house and everything in between. I can do it all. I've had experience in all of it. Well, we understand what he's talking about, don't we? He's accomplished in that field. He can do all things regarding that. What if you say to a person, I want you to keep my yard up. And I have vegetables over here and I have trees over here, orchards. And I have a certain kind of grass over here and another kind over there. What can you do for me if I employ you? And the person says, I can do it all. I have experience in all those fields. You don't have to hire somebody else. I can do it all. We understand that. Suppose you were to hire a person to restore an old vehicle. And you say, what can you do? He says, I can do it all things. From the mounting of the tires to the upholstery inside to rebuilding the engine, I can do it all. Well, I'll just hire you then, if you can do it all. We understand what that means. Now, this doesn't mean that he'll take any one of those fellas, take him down here to the track with a stopwatch, and say, let's see you run a mile in 4 minutes. You said you could do all things. We know that that'd be unreasonable. We know what we're talking about. What do you think Paul's talking about when he says, I can do all things through Christ? Certainly, he's not talking about anything that's outside the will of Christ. Because if you do it through Christ, you're doing it by his blessings, you see. I can do all things through Christ. It can be misused. But if it's understood in the right way, oh, what a blessing it is to us. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Well, what do you suppose then that he had in mind when he said that? Do you think he was talking about maybe his afflictions in life? I think that's a good application. Think about all the afflictions and persecutions that he had. And he says, I can do that through Christ. I can endure those through Christ. I can prevail and be victorious through Christ. I'm reminded of the little boy who was trying to move the stone. It was too big for him to move. He pushed and he tugged every position possible to try to move that stone 1 inch. And he was not capable of doing it. His father had been watching him for some time from within the house. Finally went outside and said to him, are you using all your strength? He said, yes. Every muscle that I have, I've tried to move that stone. I'm not able to move it. But are you using all your strength? He said, yes. Dad said, no, you haven't asked me to help you. What the boy didn't realize is that the father's strength was his strength. And together they could move the stone. And this is the way it is with Christ. We struggle, you see, all by ourselves to move it and to endure the persecutions and the afflictions. And God says, you haven't asked me yet. And we need to ask him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, we need to be involved, but we need the higher power. We need the strength of Christ. If we think for just a moment about our Lord and him bowing in the Garden of Gethsemane. If we think for a moment, the scourging as he's tied to the post. The harm he endured, the affliction that he endured, the hurt. The cross itself and the tears. Do you come away from that moment and do you think, I can do all things through Christ? Isn't that one reason it's there? To tell you that. And if you think about Stephen in Acts 7, as they raised their stones to stoning to death because he preached the message of Christ and he prayed for their souls, Father did not hold this against them. He must have been thinking, I can do all things through Christ. I will endure the stoning. And I will even pray for those that stone me to death. And you think about the first missionary journey with Paul and Silas and how they were tied to the post and beaten with rods and thrown into the inner prison. And it was at the midnight hour, the Bible says, that everyone there heard them. And they were praying and singing praises to God after they had been beaten and tied up in prison. They must have been thinking, I can do all things through Christ. And so our afflictions and our persecutions, what are they in Christ? But to be conquered, overcome, persevered. It was Paul himself who wrote this letter that also wrote 2 Corinthians. And in chapters 11 and 12, he gives you a long list of all the things that he endured during his missionary journeys. He's preaching for Christ, his imprisonments, his beatings, his shipwrecks upon the sea, his hunger. All those things he mentions. But you know, at the very end of all those things, over in chapter 12, he says, I boast in my weakness. I boast. Listen to him. We boast, don't we? Oftentimes we're proud and we tell people what we have done, what we've accomplished, what we can do. We boast, but not like this. Paul says, I boast in my weakness. I tell people I'm weak. I tell people how I come short. My lack of ability. I boast in my weakness that the power of Christ might be seen in me. He knew where the credit belonged. I can do all things through Christ, he said. What a marvelous example we have of that, even in his own life. We cannot take these things for granted. We must realize where the power comes from, and we must avail ourselves of it. We must call upon God to strengthen us and help us. Do you think for a moment that maybe Paul had this in mind? I can do all my duties, all my responsibilities in Christ. I can do it. And what exact duty did God lay in the hands of Paul? When he converted to him, did he not say, you're going to be a voice to the Gentile world? Do you remember who he's saying this to? A very Orthodox Jew, a Pharisee among Pharisees, who believed that all Gentiles were not worthy of the name of God in a place of worship. And God saved his soul and said, listen, I'm sending you to Gentile people, and you're going to preach to them about Jesus, and you're going to fellowship with them in my name. Paul must have thought, I can do all things through Christ. I need to swallow my pride and get out there and do what God has called me to do. And so you see him in his missionary journeys, the first one, the second one, the third one, as he travels from city to city. And all the hate that is aimed in his direction because he sat down and he fellowshiped and he had meals with Gentile people and his Jewish brethren wanted to cast him out because of that. And he said, I can do all things through Christ. And he sat there with them. He endured the mockery of his brethren. And he sat there with the Gentiles and held their hands in prayer, lifted them up to Christ, saved their souls. Yes, he's talking about his duties and his responsibilities. That certainly fits in the all things. You remember Jesus in Matthew 25? He says, I'll tell you what, my kingdom is like giving a man 5 talents. Giving a man 2 talents. And another man 1 talent. And I come back to look at them and their stewardship of the things they've been given. And the 5-talent man has produced 5 more. And he is praised. And the 2-talent man has produced 2 talents, and he is praised. And the 1-talent man went out and buried his talent, didn't produce anything. I wonder what the majority of the congregations of our people are 1-talent people. People buried their talent, didn't use it for God. It's not a question of do you have 5, do you have 2, do you have 1. It's a question of what are you doing with what you've been blessed with for God. I can do all things through Christ, and I will not bury my talent. I will use it for God and for his service. That's what I will do, Paul says, and that's what we must do as well. Christ will help you to do that. It's time to quit saying no. I like the illustration of it's time to go get your shovels. You know, you need to dig up your talent. You wasted it long enough. Our life is to be given to God and his service and to his community of people in the fellowship. And if Jesus is right in the parable, then everyone is going to be held accountable for what they've been given. I think he's right. What did Paul mean? I can do all things through Christ. Did he not mean that all the Christian graces and virtues, I can add them to my life and I can increase in them? Did he not mean that? I think he certainly did. And so he talks about in our faith with all diligence in 2 Peter in the first chapter. The Apostle Peter laid it out for us. He says we're to add to our faith moral excellence. Think about that word for a moment. Moral excellence. Not morally just barely getting by. Average. He says I'm to add to my faith moral excellence. This is what God asks of us. I'm to add to that knowledge. Knowledge of God and His truth and of Jesus Christ. I'm to add that to my life with all diligence. Self-control, he says. You're to add that to your life. You can only do that through Christ. Self-control. Look at the world around you and all that is offered and all the temptations and all the problems and all the obstacles. But what do you have? You have self-control. You have that which is given to you by Christ, and in His strength you're able to overcome and to rein in those passions and those lusts and that mind that wanders from there to there because you have self-control through Christ. And he says to that you're to add perseverance. How desperately we all need perseverance. Too prone are we to give up. Too prone are we to step aside. One little setback here, one little obstacle there, and here we go, off in another direction. That road is not for me, we say. Because look at all the obstacles and all the problems. And God calls us back and said, that's exactly why that road is for you. Because you can overcome those things, and as you overcome them, you will become stronger in spirit. We do not run because it's difficult. Because we have perseverance. In Christ, I can do all things, he says, through him. And then we're to add to that perseverance, he says, godliness. It's to be a godlikeness among us as Christians. Not being like the world, poured into its mold, fashioned according to its concepts and beliefs and its morals, but fashioned according to God. Godliness, a godlikeness within us. You say, well, how is that possible? It's possible through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Certainly he has that on the list. And brotherly love, he says. We add that to the list. That poor brother, that poor sister out there. The one that we have difficulty with, getting along with, grievances between. You said you add brotherly kindness and love. But how? Through Christ you do that. And it's as if to crown off all the virtues that he gives us in 1 Peter chapter 1. Last of all, he says, and you add to that love. Agape. The goodwill for all men. But men are terrible, we say to God. And God says, I don't, I know it. I look at sin. I see more sin than you do. I know how men are. But I love them, you see. I sent my son for them. So he crowns off all the virtues. He says, now through Christ, you can learn to love like that. Certainly he has that in mind. The Christian virtues, he says, I can do all things through Christ. I can add these things to my life. Now listen. In 1 Peter, he says, not only add them. He says, increase in them. Just always overflowing and abounding in them. It's difficult. It's not impossible through Christ. That is the key. But temptations, do you think he meant temptations? When he says I can do all things through Christ, do you think that he meant I can overcome all temptations through Christ? He must have been thinking about that. Don't you know his temptations were many? All the things that he went through. I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians, though, in the 10th chapter. Paul, again, is the writer. And he talks about God providing a way of escape. But in that passage, right before that, he mentions, take heed how you stand, lest you fall. In other words, he's talking about pride. You know, one of the things that causes us to be weak, One of the things that causes us to fall in time of temptation is going back to the I can. Just I can. Just I can. Without Christ. Pride. Ego. And before you know it, we fall. Pride indeed goeth before destruction. Physically, spiritually. But he does mention there a great truth. He says, know that when you're tempted, that you've not been tempted in a way that is not common with all men. You see what he's doing here? He's given us a perfect solution to dealing with temptation and the pitfalls to avoid when he says, be careful about pride. Humble yourself before God when you deal with temptation. Only God is a match for Satan. You're not. But with God you can. And then notice what he does. He addresses the self-pity problem. Because he says, however you're tempted, people have already been tempted like that. We are prone to say, only me. Only have I had such heartache and difficulty in life. Why me? And Paul says, you're not the only one. This is common to all people. Don't you realize that every step you take, every breath that you have, every thought that runs through your little mind, every word that slips from the tongue, and every deed, good or bad, men have already done it. 1,000 times over they've done it. So he says, you're not alone in any of this. You depend on God. It's common with all people. But then he gives the third thing in the text. Because he says, God, I like it, three words. God is faithful. I can get lost right there just in those three words, can't you? I cannot believe it. I mean, it's hard for me to understand how he is, seeing that I am what I am. And that the human race is what it is. It's hard for me to understand that God is faithful. He's always there. He never moves. All the moving is done by us. But as soon as a man decides, I want to go back, God says, I'm right where you left me. And all my traits are the same. I'm not changed in any way. My word is the same. The cross is the same. And so no matter where you went, no matter what sin you got involved in, I'm faithful. You understand? I'm faithful. But we get so wrapped up in sin and guilt and condemnation that we think, well, God will never be able to deal with this. Wrong. He's faithful. I can do all things through Christ, Paul says. And this is it, I can deal with temptations. Because with each temptation, here's the fourth thing in that text. He has provided a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. But we fall into sin, and what we say automatically is, there was no way out. But you got called God a liar. What do you mean there's no way out? God says, with each temptation, I provide a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. The problem is you weren't looking hard enough. You ran too quickly to the temptation and to the sin. But if you had persevered and stayed where you needed to stay and called upon Christ, you would have endured it. God said you would. I can do all things through Christ. Paul knew what he was talking about. And that's what he's talking about, you see. It's not those other things. Especially does he emphasize in the text, no matter what state I'm in. Did you notice that? I know how to deal with prosperity. I know how to deal with poverty. And someone will quickly say, well, I can deal with prosperity. Can you? Really? Do you know that probably more people will end up separated from God for all eternity because of prosperity than poverty? I mean, if you want to divide them up. In poverty, people have a yearning. They have a void that needs to be filled. They know they cannot fill it with material things. They cry to God. They draw closer to Him. In prosperity, we're more prone to think, I can. Yeah, I can. And we forget about God. So Paul says, I've learned how to deal with both. It's difficult to be in poverty. I'm not saying that it isn't. Paul had been there. He'd been without food to eat. He'd been locked up. without friends. He said, but I know how to deal with that because I throw myself to Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've had an abundance too. I've been in prosperity and I've learned how to deal with that because I don't depend upon the strength that comes from prosperity. I depend on the strength that comes from Christ even when I'm prosperous. That is the key. It's interesting language that he uses in the text because he said, I've learned the secret. Don't you like a secret? You know, somebody says, I got a secret, and all ears go like this. Paul says in the text, I've got a secret. I've learned how to deal with this. I can do all things through Christ. Where are you today in your life? Where are you today? Spiritually speaking, who are you depending on? I know there might be someone here today that thinks life's got me by the throat and you've never come to Christ yet. You've been living your whole life with the first two words, I can. It's time to add to those words and say, I can through Christ. If you'll give your heart to Christ, if you'll come with tears in your eyes, repentance in your heart, and say, I will come to Christ. I will do what you say. I will trust him. Believe me, you're going to be better off. You're going to find freedom. You're going to find life. You're going to find the strength to conquer. Would you confess him if you've never confessed him? Would you be baptized willingly into Christ for the remission of all your sins? Listen, you might have moved a long ways. God never moved. God is faithful to you. Don't it just bring tears to your eyes when you think, God is faithful to me and I've been so unfaithful to him? God is faithful to you. It ought to move us all to repentance, I think. And if you are a Christian and yet you've lost your way, there is a way back through Christ. If you need to come as we stand and as we sing.